Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. You'll also find puzzles the entire family can enjoy. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55. An evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast. And then Wednesdays at 6:45, we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Central Baptist Church. You bless us with your presence. I'm excited you're here. I hope you're excited to be here. I'm going to introduce, the band is going to introduce a new song. We played it at the dinner theater if you were there. The name of the song is The Name of Jesus. Magnificent song. Listen to the words of the song. Read them on the screen. As you pick it up, feel free to join in with me, but don't feel obligated. As you learn it, feel free to jump in and sing. I know you're going to enjoy this. You'll be hearing it for the next few weeks. It's The Name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is a refuge, a shelter from the storm, a help to those who call. The name of Jesus is a fortress, a saving place to run, a hope unshakable. When we fall, you are the Savior. When we come, you are the answer. There is power in your name. There is power in your name. In the name of Jesus, there is life and healing. Chains are broken in your name. Will bow down and our hearts will cry out.
a fortress, never failing, strong in battle, strong in kindness. Oh, when we stray, Lord, you're strong to find us. When the winds come hard against us, you are steadfast, you are true. When the ground beneath us trembles, your foundation never moves. Strong power, high and glorious. Strong power, mighty and love. Our refuge, he's our defender. Our strong power, Lord above. Strong to lead us through the shadows. His armies rage against us, they can never scale these walls. Strong power, high and glorious. Strong power, mighty love. Our refuge, he's our defender. Strong power, Lord above. You are the one I could never deserve. Here I will serve, ever under your care. Here I will serve, ever sing in your praise.
Along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Again, that's hymn number 410. I know it's not going to be on the screen for you, so if you're looking at your hymnal, it's 410. We're on the second verse.
His banner over us, His love, our sword, the Word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
On the last.
To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven.
Amen.
Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night. In Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Psalms 145:16. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. And the Lord is pictured here with an open hand. And thus God is described in that verse and in our message today by this title, the God of the open hand. Now certainly it'll go without saying, and you would know it obviously, that much of our message today is metaphorical. I think you understand that. The Bible speaks a lot about the hand. 1,301 verses have the word hand in the verse. 1,792, if you put an asterisk at the end, words like hands, plural, handful, something like that, handfuls, then you would have 1,792 verses to look up. There are 1,819 verses if you put an asterisk both in front and behind the word hand, H-A-N-D. Now, 16 verses use the words hand of God. 16 verses use that expression, hand of God. 38 verses use the expression hand of the Lord. Hand of the Lord. Let's look at some of those. Psalms 118:15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Psalms 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Isaiah 62:3, the Bible says, thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. We're God's jewelry. And it's like he uses us in that way, it seems. Wonderful thought. Acts 11:20-21, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which they came to Antioch, and they preached to the Grecians the Lord Jesus. And in verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them. The hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. That's always the pastor's prayer, that the hand of the Lord would be with us and that a great number would believe and turn to the Lord. Now, the Bible presents some powerful imagery concerning the hand of God, the hand of the Lord. First of all, it's a creative hand. Everything that was made by the hand of God. Acts 7:50 says, hath not my hand made all these things? God said, if you can see it, if it exists,
my hand made it. Job 12, verse 1, Job is the talker. And then in verse 9, who knoweth not in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? If you can see it, if it exists, the hand of the Lord did it. Verse 10, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Your heart is in His hand. Everything you see, touch, taste, smell, or any of your senses can process, the hand of the Lord did that. In Isaiah 40 and verse number 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? In other words, He can take all the oceans, all the bodies of water, the great lakes, you name them, any great bodies of water, and He can put them all in the palm of His hand. That's what God said, and that's the metaphor God uses. In verse 15 of Isaiah 40, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. God said, they're nothing to me. They're like a drop. All the nations of the earth, put them together, all their power. And God said, they're like a tiny little drop. I can hold them in the palm of my hand. There's a small dust of the balance. He said, the isles are a very little thing. A little place like the Americas even would be a little thing to God. In verse 17, all nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. You see, the point the preacher makes is all human hands are as nothing against the hand of God. If all the nations of the world declared war on heaven today, the Bible says he that sitteth in the heavens would laugh, take his little finger and thump them all into hell if he chose to do so. In Proverbs 11:21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. You can all unite your hands and say, we're standing against you, God. He trembles not. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Let all the proud get together and join hands and say, we'll stand against God. God said, you don't have a chance. You see, his hands of judgment would be as hard as steel. Now, let me contrast. To those who know Him and love Him, His hands are a comfort. You know, we are the work of His hands. In Isaiah 64:8, now, Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay and Thou our potter. We are all the work of Thine hand. I don't know if you ever thought of it. We're the work of Thy hand. God made you or you wouldn't be exist. He formed you. And a part of a process called procreation through your mother and father. But God was the one who formed you. Jeremiah 18:6, can I not do with you as this potter? He said, you are in mine hand. He's saying, do with you anything I want to do. You're in my hand. Isaiah 66:2, all these things hath mine hand made, but to this man will I look. God said, I made it all, but you want to know what catches my interest? I made it all, but you want to know what draws my attention? To this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. You know, he's got his eyes on the whole world today, but he's got his eyes especially on his church. He's got his eyes on those people who tremble at his word. He's watching you in a special way, you see, and you're in his hand. There's an old song. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. He's got the little bitty baby in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. I don't know about you, but I take wonderful comfort in knowing that I'm in the hand of God. You see, it's all the work of God. It's the work of His hand. And I want to say candidly, we dare not take credit as though our own hand has brought us these blessings instead of the hand of God. There's a danger that we'll do that. In Deuteronomy 8:12, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, you're doing well. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, you got more money than anybody else, and all you have is multiplied. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. You see, the one that brought you out. Verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Look what I've done. Look what my hand has accomplished. God said a word of warning here. He said, you've forgotten the one whose hand really did it. Look in verse 18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant. You see, I want you to know as a nation, if we say, look what our hand has done, look what we have done, we are in danger. We must say, look what the hand of God has done. By the way, in the Bible, God is even pictured as holding our hand. In Hebrews 8 and 9, God said that He led them out of the land of Egypt. He said, I took them by the hand. He said, I led them out of the land of Egypt. God is pictured as holding our hand and walking with us. He's a hand-holding God. And then in Isaiah 45, 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, He said, whose right hand I have holden. God said, you know, if you've done anything, it's because I was holding your hand. I love Hosea 11:3. It doesn't have hand in it. But He said, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. God is pictured here as a loving father taking Ephraim in His hands. And the word hand is not there, but holding them by their arms, taking them by their arms. The picture of when you couldn't even walk, God said, I had a hold of you. I had a hold of you, and I was helping you. Our brother Gene McKnight used to sing, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I love this expression, the good hand of God, or the good hand of His God. In Ezra 7 and 9, upon the first day of the month, He began to go up from Babylon, and the Bible says He did it, last part of the verse, according to the good hand of His God upon him. You see, this man had the hand of God upon him. Why? Verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Look in Ezra 8:18, the good hand of our God upon us. They brought us a man of understanding. Nehemiah 2:7, moreover I said unto the king, if it please the king, and this is Nehemiah, he said, let me have letters to take with me. And verse 8b says, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. He said, I tell you, God's been so good to me. He's had His hand on me, and He's been with me, and He's walked with me. God is a good God. Can I get an amen? And His hand is a good hand, and He's pictured in our text today. He's pictured in our text today in Psalms 145:16, with an open hand. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Let me give you about three or four or five quick points. Number one, the open hand speaks of generosity. The open hand speaks of giving. The open hand, God's hand is open, and He's a generous God. Now, we need to have open hands to receive from God. Psalms 104:28, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Here's how it works. God comes bearing gifts, and God has an open hand, and God extends it. Now, what is faith? Faith is simply receiving and opening your hands and receiving that which God is presenting to you. So to me, the open hand of God speaks of generosity. Number two, the open hand of God speaks of greeting. You know, when you see somebody and you give them a greeting, it might be a handshake or it might be an open hand like this, but it speaks to me of greeting. Now, this is an image. I want you to get a metaphor of God. If you could picture God today, how would you see Him? Well, I believe you'd see Him with an open hand. I believe you'd see, by the way, you might see Him with open hands that were nailed to a cross and had scars in them. Do you understand the metaphor? And so today, how is God pictured? He's extending His hand. He's reaching out. And sadly, that open hand of God is often ignored and refused. Have you ever gone up to somebody and then they just turned and walked away and wouldn't shake your hand, wouldn't acknowledge you? That's how God feels. In Proverbs 1, God said in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my Spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. Right now He's doing it. His Spirit is here. His words are going out. But He said this, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. God is pictured in Proverbs here as being standing with His hand reached out to man. And man will not take His hand. This open hand to me also speaks of gathering. I see it embracing, holding, pulling unto Himself. when he gets a hold of you with that open hand, he embraces you with a hug. By the way, if you're hurting today, when you're hurting, God will embrace you. The God of grace will hug you. The God of grace will hold your hand. He'll steady you and lift you up if you're about to fall. And in that open hand, I see gentleness. But make no mistake about it, God has a strong hand. God's hand, so gentle, is yet so strong. In Exodus 13:9b, with a strong hand the Lord hath brought thee out of Egypt. Deuteronomy 2:15, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them. You know, some people get in a shoving match with God. Get out of my life! Get out of my life! I don't want you in my life! Get out of my life! You don't want to get in a shoving match with God. Because if God ever shoves you, it's done. The Bible says they'll be cast into a lake of fire. God never loses a shoving match. Amen. And if God lays a hand on you in judgment, it is a heavy hand. And let me tell you, friend, you could not even escape the hand of the weakest angel. Did you know when God sends forth the angels in the day of judgment, the Bible, and you're in prison right now, you just don't know it. You can't leave this earth. You're a prisoner until God calls for you and summons you. And when those angels come, did you know that one angel in heaven, according to your Bible, is strong enough? The Bible says in Revelation, he'll come and he'll lay hold on the devil. And he'll bind him. Now, if one angel in heaven is so strong that he can subdue the devil, and that's in your Bible, why, you couldn't even, if the puniest angel God has, if God sent him after you, you couldn't keep him from laying his hands on you. And think about this, how much greater is God than his angels. You don't want to arm wrestle with God, you lose. Oh, if God is on your side, you're on the winning side. And his hand is as gentle to his children as it is hard as steel to his enemies. You know, there isn't anything the hand of God can't handle, and no matter what you've gotten yourself into, in Deuteronomy 3:24, the Bible says, O Lord, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. I've just begun to figure out how great you are and how mighty your hand is. Nobody else can do according to your works and according to your might. And I might say this, there's nothing that's beyond his reach. You say, but you don't know how far I've gone. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how mess I'm in. I'm telling you, I've messed it up, preacher. Well, I'm telling you about the God who can bring you out. Deuteronomy 5:15, with a mighty hand, and the Bible uses the word there in that verse, you'll see it, a stretched out arm. I don't care how low you are. I don't care what your circumstance is. The God I'm preaching to you today has a long enough arm and a strong enough hand to reach in and to pull you out of that.
You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening. And we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.